Well, thank you very much, Jim. I really appreciate everything you said, and thanks for praying for us. And it's good to be with you this morning. Thank you for coming along. Usually, when the cat's away, the mice will play. In other words, when the minister's away, usually some people end up going somewhere else to hear somebody. But so it's good to see you this morning. And I want to sincerely say thank you very much for praying for us as a family. You know, my daughter got married, and it was some experience, which I'll explain to you. But I really want to say thank you very much for praying for us. We prayed that we'd know the glory of the Lord, and we know the blessing of the Lord. And I really do believe we did know the glory of the Lord and the blessing of the Lord. But I don't know what happened to myself. Janice, she was loving it, but I felt like the world in my shoulders. And even before it, and just the stress of it all shut my mouth. I know that. And my niece Lucy, Peter's wife, says to me, "It's nice to hear you're quiet for a change, Uncle Gordon." You know, I don't know what happened. I just felt very stressed out and struggling. And anyway, when I walked Bethany down the aisle, you maybe see photographs or a wee video, I looked miserable. Absolutely miserable. And I think I'm a cheery person, but I don't know what happened. I was just totally stressed out. And the reason why I'm sharing all this, I was totally stressed out, and it completely changed how I was behaving. And people at church the Sunday before the wedding asked Janice if I was okay. It looks as if there's something wrong with him. That shows you how bad it was. And it was that I just felt so stressed out, and normally I'm a happy chappy. And at the wedding, preparing for the wedding, my daughter, she was calm. She dressed the three bridesmaids, she dressed her mum, and then she dressed herself, and her daughter spilt coffee over her, what do you call that, the veil, before she walked down the aisle. And Bethany's like, relax, and I'm like that. And then Janice was fixing something in the back of her dress, and Janice burst it. And Bethany says, "Forget it, Mum, we'll be fine, nobody will see it, the veil will cover it." And I just felt so stressed out. Now, there's a reason why I'm telling you all this. It really changed how I was thinking and how I was behaving. And I want to tell you something. I'm a Christian 40 years in the 1st of November this year. I'm a Christian for 40 years and the 1st of November. And here I was, stressed out my head, and my behaviour was changed. And the reason I tell you all that and spend so much time in that is because maybe you're here, and you're a Christian, and maybe there's something else going on in your life, and you know that is stressing you out. And you know that even your behaviour maybe be changed because of the way that you're taking the stress upon yourself. Now, when I look back and I think, I robbed myself of relaxing, rejoicing, and celebrating. I did have a great time, but I could have had a better time. And could it be maybe you're here this morning, and there's something burdening your heart? There's something going on in your life. You know what it is, and God knows what it is. And maybe you're struggling with it. So let's just come and bow our heads and ask God to minister into our lives, and God to speak into our circumstances, because I learnt from that experience. Hopefully it'll be a long time before I learn get that experience again with my youngest daughter. But I learned from that experience. And you're going through something just now in your life, and maybe you're behaving in a way that you wish you could change it. Well, I want to say, praise God, we can. And it's when we look to the Lord, and it's when we lean in the Lord, and it's when we refresh our love for Him day by day. So let's pray before we turn to the Word of God. Father, I want to thank you that you know every single one of us in church this morning. You tell us, you know when we stand up, you know when we sit down, you know when we go out, you know when we come in, you know everything about our background, you know everything about our behaviour, you know everything, every single thing that's going on in our life. You even tell us, you know how many hairs are upon our head. So I pray, Lord, for every single soul in this service this morning. Whatever is going on in their life, we pray that you'd help them to leave it at the feet of Jesus. That we would know the peace and the joy and the comfort of looking to the Lord Jesus Christ and leaning not in our own strength, which is weak and powerless, but leaning in the strength of the Lord. So we commit this service to you and we say, Lord, glorify your Son. Exalt your Son, so much so that we'll leave this morning saying, it was good to dwell in the house of the Lord because God was with us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
In the portion of scripture that Jim read to us this morning, in verse 18 it says, for you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers. Isn't it wonderful if we are here this morning and we have put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? If we're here this morning and we're converted, we're changed because we're trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we know that we are a Christian, that we know that our trust is in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we know that we are redeemed, that Jesus died on the cross to pay the price of my sins and your sins upon the cross, that you're forgiven. You're forgiven of your sins. That's wonderful to know that. And I'm thankful, I celebrate being a Christian 40 years. I want to praise God and tell people how God saved me. How I was a broken person, a mixed up person. My mum was an alcoholic, my dad left us. You know all that story. I was a mixed up, screwed up person. But God saved me, and God changed my life, and God gave me different desires in my heart and my life. And I want to say, it's great to know that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and never forget the joy of knowing that you're a child of God. Never forget the joy of knowing that it's God that saved you. It's not you, it's God. When we were in Northern Ireland, Janice and Holly and I went for a coffee. There's a coffee shop in Ballymoney called Ground. And they went in there for a coffee. They've got downstairs, upstairs. We were upstairs just, I think it was after the wedding. And we're sitting chatting, and the table next is, I could hear they're talking about the Bible. And Janice says, don't say a thing. And Holly says, Dad, I'm telling you, I'm walking out if you start. And they started, they're talking. And so they were, you know how when somebody's talking to you but you're not listening? Jan says, you're not listening to me. You're listening to somebody else. And so I was listening to the conversation next to us, and I could hear the word Jehovah, Jehovah, Jehovah. And I thought, oh, I know what's going on there. And I says, I think they're Jehovah Witnesses. I think he's a Jehovah Witness, sharing the Jehovah Witness truth, they think, with this man. And Jan says, don't say a thing, Gordon, I'm telling you. he says, don't say anything to you till we leave. So anyway, we finished up and they left. And all and says, hello, how are you? It's good to see you. And chatted with them. And I tell you this, and Paula says, Dad, when you go over, you speak gently and with love. And I did speak with gentle and love. And I thought I said to myself, well, I could walk away. But I don't believe in what the Jehovah's Witnesses teach. I don't believe it's truth. They're sincere. but they're sincerely wrong. We've got to stick with the Bible. Chatting to the Jehovah Witness and saying to them about how you can know your sins are forgiven and how you can know peace with God, because they believe about all the good works that they do. And this young man had just been studying with them for a year, gave him the Free Church Minister, Mr. Park's name, and the church he's a minister in, and a great conversation with them, talking to them about how they could know their sins are forgiven, how they could know peace with God. Because there's many people today, and they think, if I can only do this, and if I can only do that, and if I go to church, and if I be a better person, I'm a Christian. Well, I've got good news. You maybe be here this morning, and you can't become a Christian your way. You can only become a Christian God's way. And God's way is Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. Jesus paid the price of my sin and your sin upon the cross of Calvary. And because Jesus died on the cross of Calvary and he was buried, and 3 days later he was resurrected to life, and now the Bible says he's seated at the right hand side of the Father, the place of authority and power, I can know my sins are forgiven. And you can know your sins are forgiven. And as a Christian, if you're here and you can say amen to what I've said, don't lose the joy of that. Don't lose the joy of knowing that you're a child of God, that you're saved, you're redeemed, you're born again, and one day when you die, you're going to heaven. Because there's many people today, and they've lost the joy of knowing who they are in Christ Jesus. But before we get any further, I would like to say, if you're here and you've never came to that place where you've realised that you're a sinner, you've realised you're separated from God, and you've not realised that it's through what happened to Jesus on the cross of Calvary, there's great news. There's mercy and there's forgiveness with God. And God loved you so much that his son died on the cross of Calvary. Now, when I heard that 40 years ago, I struggled believing that. I struggled to believe that God loved me, because I didn't even love myself. I struggled to love myself, so how could God love me? And as I heard the minister telling the truth Sunday in and Sunday out and Sunday out, Sunday in and Sunday out, that I was a sinner, but God loved me and he wanted to forgive me. And praise God, 6 months later, I accepted Christ. Well, I want to say the great news is today that you can know that your sins are forgiven and you've got peace with God. You can go to church all your life and not be a Christian. There's many people who are a member of a church and they're not a Christian. There are many people who say, I'm a Christian because I do A, B, and C. The only way we become a Christian is coming and saying, Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Forgive me of my sins and come into my life and make me a child of God. And here in the portion of scripture we heard read this morning, Peter says, for you know that it is not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers. You know something? It's wonderful to know that our life isn't empty. Our life, as Billy Graham says, begins with a capital L. That's what God gives us. God gives us real purpose and meaning in life when we come and surrender our life to the Lord. And because we're believers and our trust is in Christ, the Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. But there's a lot of joy lacking in churches. There's a lot of joy lacking in Christians' lives. And as Christians, we should be people who sing to the glory of God with a joy in our heart because of who we are in Christ. Because God could have passed you by. You're saved because God saved you. You're redeemed because God redeemed you. You had scales over your eyes and God took them off. And you can see the glory of God. Your ears were deaf, dumb, but God unstopped them. And now you can hear. And that's why we should give thanks. That's why we should be people who are rejoicing and praising God and giving thanks. I'm thinking about, I've got a few gospel missions coming up and starting to think about them. And I'm going to be sharing about a lady who lived in Drumchapel, Helen, her name was. And Helen came along to us. And Helen was a chronic alcoholic. She was all scars and her hair was a mess and she looked a mess. She's a chronic alcoholic and came along to Drumchapel Baptist Church. And this is one of the illustrations I've got to use when I'm preaching in John 3:16, the love of God. And she struggled because folk made fun of her. Folk used to say, Gordon, people laugh at me. Because she looked rough. The drink had paid its price on her. And she looked terrible. But a lovely, lovely person, but folk made fun of her. She started coming along to church. I started visiting her. And one afternoon I had the wonderful joy of leading her to Christ in her home. She was addicted to cider. And she got set free from that. And the joy about her was absolutely beautiful, the change. And I used to give her a hug when she came to church. And she says, Gordon, nobody cuddles me. She says, only time I get a cuddle from someone is when I come to church. And to be able to tell her that God loved her and Jesus died for her, and she came and she gave her life to Christ and she was different. And the joy about her was wonderful, inwardly and outwardly. And she was so thankful because God loved her, even though folk looked at her and laughed at her and condemned her, but she knew that God loved her. And she was thankful. And I wonder this morning, are you thankful? Thankful that God loves you. That God has brought you in to his family. And in verse 11 in John chapter 15 we read, Jesus says, I have told you this so that my joy may be complete in you and that your joy may be complete. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Jesus has told us, speaking about the vine, which we'll read later on, the branch and the vine. He's told us that when we remain in him, there's fruit. When we are in him, there's fruit, there's rejoicing. Now, I don't know what you think of this. I'm not a weirdo, but I've got to tell you something. I've got clematis growing up at the side of the house, and they weren't bearing any plants. So I say to them, listen, by the way, I was talking to the plants, if you don't start producing plants in a month's time, I'm giving you a month, you don't start producing flowers, you're getting cut down to the roots and starting again. Start producing in a month's time, or I'm cutting you back. Well, yesterday they got cut back. My wife was the chuffed. I've only got cut back, but they get pulled off and we'll start again. In a Christian's life, Jesus is telling us here that when we remain in him, when we rejoice in him, when we spend time in his company, there is fruit, there is a difference, there is a joy. I know in my life, when I don't have my devotions the way I should be having them, I know in my life when I don't have prayer time and reading the Bible time and being still time, I know what happens in my life. You deal with things different. You talk to your wife different. You talk to your kids different in situations and powerful and struggle situations in the house. You deal with people different. But when you're sitting and enjoying the company of the Lord and making sure you're enjoying his company, you deal with your circumstances totally different. And as believers in Christ, people need to see that we have been in the company of Jesus. And the way people see is by the way we behave. If I'm miserable, if I'm crabby, if I'm ignorant, if I'm rude, do you think I've been in the company of Jesus? Do you think I've spent time with him? If I'm ignorant to my wife, if I'm ignorant to my kids, if I'm ignorant to Jim Gourley, do you think I've been in Jesus' company? Do you think I'm spending time with him? Because when you spend time with him, you deal with your circumstances totally different. I know that's the way it works with me. And this is what Jesus said. Jesus says in verses 4 and verse 5 in chapter 15 of John, "Remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." Apart from me, you can do nothing. And that's why it's important that we know that we are believers. We're believing in the Bible. We're believing in the truth. We're believing in the Word of God. And we're standing in the promises of God. But also we're abiding. We're spending time in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We're spending time in his company. It says in Isaiah, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not feel faint." So in my Christian life, and in your Christian life, we want to be the best example we can be for the glory of God. We want to be people that people, when they look at us, they can see the beauty of Jesus. There's two ladies that go to the Free Church in Ballymoney. They're sisters. And they're lovely, that lovely. For Chris, Carol, help me out, Janice. Who?
Karen.
Marlon. They're that great, I forgot their name. They are great, they're lovely, they're great fun, they're great. Now, the two of them, they're great fun, they're good banter, they're two of them are completely different than their sisters. One's bubbly and joyful, the other one can be a wee bit quieter, but they love the Lord, and just their behaviour, you can see the joy of the Lord about them. And one of them struggles with walking, struggles with getting standing up and sitting down, struggles with her health, and all that sort of stuff. But you'll struggle to get somebody as happy as her. You'll struggle to see somebody, because just the joy of the Lord is bubbling over from her behaviour and her attitude and just sitting with her. And she's a lovely. The two of them are just absolutely lovely. They're great company. You feel refreshed when you've left her company. We had breakfast with them one morning when we were over, and it was brilliant, a great time. Now, why am I saying that? How does people feel when they leave your company? Do they experience the blessing and the joy of the Lord, or do they feel drained? Do they feel more excited and full of God's blessing? Or do they feel drained? And that's what can happen in Christians' lives. And I think you strip it all away, and it's a lack of spending good quality time in the presence of the Lord. Because when you spend good quality time in the presence of the Lord, it changes you. You're changed. When somebody, if you've been spending time with prayer and somebody's rude to you, you'll deal with that different. Let's put it another way. If you go out and get hit with a double-decker bus, you'll look different. You'll look completely different. If you went out in a double-decker, you get run over a double-decker bus, you would look different. Spiritually, when we spend time at the feet of Jesus, when we spend time in his company, we're different. We behave different. Our attitude's different. Our conduct's different. Our mindset's different. And people can see that we've been with Jesus. I don't know where you are, but that's where I want to go. I want to spend time. And more time, I might be a Christian for 40 years, but I've got my old plates up. and I want to spend more time in His company. Somebody once says, the barrenness of a busy life. The barrenness of a busy life. And sometimes we can get caught up with busy things, things that's taken up our time, but there's no profit in it. And I say profit, I don't mean financial profit. I mean spiritual profit, where it will last for the glory of God. And when we know that we're a believer, a genuine believer, our faith and trust is in Christ, and we're spending time in His presence, as it says in John 16, Jesus, when He was teaching about prayer, He says in verse 24, until now you have not asked for anything in My name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. Until now you have not asked for anything in My name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. Jesus was speaking to the disciples about prayer and praying in His name. And you know, as a Christian, it's important in our life that you maybe be here and God's blessed you. And you'll not get a panic in going and buying a loaf tomorrow. Or you'll not get a panic in going out and treating yourself to a coffee tomorrow. You'll not get a panic in paying your bills. And hallelujah, that's wonderful. But we've not to stop forgetting to ask God to help us. We're not to stop to ask God to be with us. Don't be self-sufficient. Be someone who's relying on God no matter how much He's blessed you. No matter how much provision you've got round about you, God's a giver. And praise His holy name. It's God that gives and God can take away. So let's have a desire in the heart that we want to be people who are coming to God and asking that He'll help us to live for His glory. Somebody once said to Robert Murray McShane, the minister who was up in Dundee, who was mightily used of God, and he says to Robert Murray McShane, what is your congregation's greatest need? What is your congregation's greatest need? And do you know Robert Murray McShane's answer? My congregation's greatest need is to see My personal holiness. My congregation's greatest need is to see My personal holiness. In other words, Robert Murray McShane wasn't saying, oh, my congregation's greatest need is the less of the backbiting and gossiping and fighting amongst them. He says, my congregation's greatest need is to see Me walking with God. It's to see Me living for God's glory. What is the people round about you? What's your greatest need? What is the people who live with you? What about the people who live round about you? What about your neighbours? What about your unsafe friends? What about your relations? What's their greatest need? Their greatest need is to see godliness through your life. To see holiness. To see righteousness. To see someone who says, I'm not only converted, but I'm living the way that I should live, and I behave the way I should be behaving, and I speak the way I should be speaking. And here is Jesus, and He's encouraging the disciples to ask in His name in prayer. Well, I know in my life I need help. I need God to help me. To be, praise God, I'm saved, but I want to be a better servant. I want my life to live better for the glory of God. I know I've said it from this pulpit before. My desire is that my kids, when I pass away and go to heaven, my desire is that my kids will say that what my dad preached, my dad lived. That's my desire, that they'll say my dad wasn't two-faced. What he preached for the pulpit, he lived in the house. Now, there's some days that works and there's some days that doesn't. But what I'm saying to you is, in your life, you want to live for the glory of God. And maybe the Holy Spirit is highlighting something in your life. Even now. And you know it's a blockage. Maybe there's something going on in your life and you know it's hindering you from walking and talking and living for the glory of God. And wouldn't it be great this day of you to come and say, Lord, I'm giving you my all. I want to totally live for your glory. And that's why we want to not give up in asking and coming before God and praying and seeking first the kingdom of God. And as we finish, we think of John chapter 17 and verse 13. Jesus speaking here, he says, I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. So that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I am coming to you now, but I have said these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. And here is Jesus thinking about his disciples, praying for his disciples, and they're listening to what the Lord is saying. And it's so important that we listen to what God is saying to us. He wants us to know that joy, not an empty joy. Sometimes you can wake up and you feel miserable, but you can still have the joy of the Lord in your life. Sometimes there may be a black cloud over your life, but you can still know the peace and the calmness of God. And we can rob ourselves of that joy and that contentment. I could take you, there's something I'm hoping to do to witness to the glory of God, how God converted somebody who was broken, somebody who was so frightened, and somebody who was brought up in a broken, they call it a dysfunctional family. That's the posh name for it now, but it was a divorced home, a drunkard's home. Praise God, my mum was get saved. Just damaged. But God stepped in. But God stepped in and changed our direction. And my mum, and praise God, she's in heaven. Why am I telling you that? Because I could take you to a place in Oban. I was a Christian. I was a deacon in the church. I was helping with the Sunday school. And I could take you to within a metre of where this happened, just by the Free Church in Oban, where God met me and convicted me of sin in my life. And I just left the Baptist church taking 12, 13 kids in Sunday school involved in the service, and God convicted me of sin in my life, and I felt terrible, and I was so thankful that that happened, that God revealed that my hands were not clean and my heart was not pure. And to come and ask God to help me with the things that are going on in my life that are ungodly. As we finish, maybe you're here today and maybe you need to be obedient to what the Holy Spirit is saying in your life. Maybe you're here and you're quite content to live a shallow Christianity, and you could be a Christian for how many years but still living a shallow Christianity. You're not denying yourself and picking up your cross and following Him. Wouldn't it be wonderful of you to come today? And it doesn't matter how old you are. God has still got plans for you. You're still living. God has got a job for you to do. And I believe that God has got plans for every single one of us until we die. But wouldn't it be great of you to come today and say, God, here's my life. And I want you to deal with this in my life. I'm up to visit Bill Friel, who was a Baptist minister, a lovely preacher. I loved his preaching. He was a minister in Inverness. He was a minister in a few places. And I went up to visit him. I think he was 87 or 89 or something like that when I went to visit him. And I went to visit him. He said, oh, come in, Gordon. He says, I've just wrote a letter to God, recommit my life to Him. And what's left of my life, I want to serve it. I want to use my life as a servant for him. Isn't that wonderful? He's barely hit 90. So even if you're 90, you can still serve the Lord. If the hat fits, wear it. So what I'm saying to you is, if you're here today, God has got great plans for your life. Don't rob yourself. Don't rob yourself and eat the sweets of the world, the lies of the world. Live your life for his glory. And you'll see great and wonderful things happening. Or could it be that maybe you're here and you haven't given your life to Christ? Maybe you're here and you enjoy church and you enjoy meeting people, but maybe you've not came to that place where you've surrendered your life to Christ. I remember on the 1st, the 11th, 83, in the minister's man's, I didn't even know how to pray or anything. And he prayed a very, very simple prayer, and I copied him and asked Jesus to come into my life. Well, if you're here and you're not too sure, I brought some wee booklets with me called Journey into Life, and it just explains the gospel very clearly. And as we begin for a cup of tea, just ask for one and I'll give you one. Or if you're here and you're not too sure how you stand with God, the elders would love to talk to you. I would love to talk to you, and let's just talk about Jesus. Because you could be here this morning and maybe not a Christian, but I want to tell you, I believe in the authority of the scriptures, and you can walk out a Christian. Because the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And today you can know your sins forgiven and peace with God. Or if you're here and you are a Christian and you know there's blockages in your walk with God, don't be content. Come and surrender your life and say, Father, give me a heart that wants to seek first the kingdom of God and your righteousness. Let's pray. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. We want to thank you for who you are. We will thank you for your love and for your mercy. We thank you that your Son died on the cross of Calvary to pay the price of our sins. We want to thank you, Lord, that we know that we cannot save ourselves, that we cannot be converted because of something we have done. It's all because of Jesus dying on the cross of Calvary and resurrected 3 days later. So, Lord, we do pray, if there be anyone amongst us who's never received the free gift of God, which is eternal life, may this morning they come and receive your free gift. And, Father, we pray, if there be any believers amongst us and they know in their heart that their behaviour is causing spiritual blockage, Lord, set us free this morning. Set us free that, Father, you'll stir up our hearts. You tell us in the Word of God, as the eagle stirs up our nest, so the Lord stirs up the hearts of his children. Stir my heart. Stir our hearts that are fresh, that will come and want to delight in you and walk with you and live for your glory. Father, we long to see your blessing in our land once again. So begin in our hearts that people will see the change that Jesus has made in our lives. In his wonderful name, amen. Amen.